Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The last show before Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Premier League preview show sponsored by Bet365. Lovely to have you with us. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello, ho,
Luke
ho.
Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello, ho, ho. I'm stealing that, Jim.
Oh.
Ignoring that and moving on, are we?
Yeah.
Just a little strum, ladies and gentlemen. That's all that was.
A little Christmas strum.
It's that wonderful time of the year that some of the foreign leagues sap off and leave it to the big boys.
Yes!
Oh, the Premier League, eh?
Can I just say, in across Christmas, when everyone else in Europe is having a winter break, there's at least one Premier League game every single day from the 26th Boxing Day through to the 4th of Jan, apart from the 29th.
That's nice, isn't it?
Anything, we're doing more football.
Take that, the national team. No, sorry, other leagues. Yeah.
It won't come back to bite us on the bop-bop come a summer tournament. Definitely not. That's the only reason why we don't win. Bloody Alan Pardew's gone.
He has.
Should we just give the floor to Pete?
Yeah.
Pete.
That's what the strum was at the start. I don't know how to use the system properly.
You just thought to yourself, it sounds jolly, it sounds happy.
Yeah.
You're going to go for it.
Yeah.
A very sort of quite prevalent ramble trope over the last few weeks has been people trying to get Christmas off to spend it with their families. Pardew's absolutely nailed it. He's nailed it.
He's going to get...
He's thrown Allardyce right in it.
Yeah, how could I do it without getting those sort of like Sunday blues about having to go out to work? I know. Get myself fired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk about people putting in the groundwork. With the yellow cards and also maybe end of November. Well, Pardew's put in a lot of groundwork. I mean, Palace's form in 2016 is the worst of all 92 Premier League and EFL clubs.
Six Premier League wins
is the second worst total over one calendar year in the Premier League's history.
Right, six, and three of them were against Stoke. Mark, you should go.
You should go with him. Yeah. Palace's 67 goals conceded in 2016 is the third worst over one year in the Premier League's history. Man putting the groundwork in.
He really has.
He deserves Christmas off.
He deserves his links boxes.
you got to say, though, at this point, you know, whoever does get him in next is lucky because it's at the top of the Pardew slide. It'll be brilliant again.
Yeah. 26 points from 36 games, which is incredible. It's an incredible stat.
Steve Parrish said something quite strange. He said, we all bought into the decision to play a more expansive style of football. That's why they got Pardew in.
Yeah.
That hasn't worked. It's no one's fault.
Yeah, but to me that strikes of someone who's massively trying to prepare the ground for Allardyce.
Absolutely,
pooing the expansive style.
Okay,
like, that's the last thing we need.
Well, going back to what we had with Pulis. Imagine Parrish just sitting Alan down, going, Alan, look, we wanted to tell you weeks ago, but the investors insisted we waited until just before Christmas.
we were waiting for the Pulis money.
Yeah,
to be quite frank,
the investors said you're just not a Christmas type of man. But
3.7 million came in from Pulis. And apparently 4.8 million's gone out to Pardew.
Ooh.
He has a payout every 2 years.
What I would say
after
is...
a very underwhelming year, usually.
What I would say to Pardew is, look at Pulis, don't spend that money.
No.
No, but Pardew will be ringing Pulis up going, all right, Tony, just want to let you know how I'm spending your money.
Yeah.
Stop on holiday.
I'll take you out for dinner, and at the end of dinner, should we go Dutch? but Parrish also said, the players have been running their socks off for Alan. The spirit is good, but now we're going to wind the dial back the other way. I mean, if a Big Sam takeover looms large, it's surely this now.
You know, we were talking about a week or so ago about how Big Sam said he was, he fancied, watch this space in quite a smug way. I'm rid of. I'm going to have a job by the end of the year.
Well, that's
and
what
we were saying. He hasn't got much time left. Mm. One of the reports I read today was that reportedly Big Sam is ready to go and has been for 2 weeks. So he essentially knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, there was a news story out saying that, you know, his representatives are meeting Palace. It's out in the open. Mm. Like, it's happening, absolutely.
But to be fair to a football club, I mean, if you are thinking of sacking a manager, I mean, with that record, it's understandable. Then to have a replacement, you know, as we've used it.
We talked about it with Bob Bradley and with Swansea.
Well, unfortunately, and quite foolishly, we would say for Birmingham City, that clearly they had Gianfranco Zola lined up. Now, we all thought that was a poor changing of the guard or whatever you want to call it. But if you're going to sack the manager, then it is best to have someone lined up. You know, it's an ounce of a plan.
And on the Pardew thing, just to be a little bit more balanced, he did deliver them a 10th place. Crystal Palace finished 10th, which is their highest position in the Premier League era. And when he came in, same old story as Pete will tell you. They were flying for a good while, and then 2015-16 they ended up finished 10th.
Is it fair to say he rested on his laurels?
He did, because there was talk of Europe earlier in that season.
Well, and then FA Cup final.
I mean, look, I have had a lot of tweets today, and I don't want to be the kind of guy to, you know, the other day...
A man's lost his job.
I can't even finish that sentence. He's fucking useless. I can't stand him. I can't stand Alan Pardew, and I can't even sit here and be balanced.
No.
The man's an idiot.
But there's no need to be balanced when someone's been given £4.8 million. It's not like they've closed a local colliery.
No,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The guy is going to be perfectly fine. There's no need to spare the rod there.
I can't be balanced. What I would say is Big Sam, bearing in mind the kind of players that Crystal Palace have, and they have bought quite well, I think, are they suited to Big Sam's style? His long ball,
Chris. Don't care about Palace and what they do.
Well, they can lump balls up to Benteke, can't they?
I think actually that Big Sam will do all right there,
because he
will do fine. And as Luke says, you've got a big centre forward who can score goals.
They've got a good forward line. They just need tightening up at the back.
He'll get the best out of Andros Townsend.
Yeah.
He can use creative players, as we've seen. You know, even his time at Bolton, the likes of Youri Djorkaeff and JJ Kocha.
By the way,
Wilfred Zaha.
That match at England.
Yeah, that one match for England.
100% record.
Win's a win's a win.
It's worth pointing out that with Big Sam, I mean, he has got a track record. He has got a record of doing really well.
Allardyce is a good manager.
He finished 6th and 7th with Bolton. He qualified for Europe with Bolton twice.
That was a long time ago, though.
10 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is a long time. A huge amount of time.
Well, as Phil Neville said, you know... was, is, same thing.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, he said that on Match of the Day too, because Alan Shearer was arguing that Zlatan Ibrahimovic was world class.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Is he backtracking? Is he backtracking?
And then Phil Neville said, no, he is. And Phil Neville went, well, was, is, same thing.
Alan Shearer is thinking of this world class thing. It's like when you go and visit an elderly relative and you know it's only a matter of time before they start talking about the war. It's always going to happen. It's Alan Pardew's Vietnam War.
It's like
world class.
It's like Shearer's.
Alan Shearer.
It's like that time I met John Barnes and trying to talk to him about something other than Theo Walcott playing on the wing or should be in the centre.
He had it in his ears and that's what he wanted to talk about, and that was that.
John, do the rap. Well, hang on.
At least in a Lucasaid advert.
Oh, dear. But
gets to the wing fast.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I tell you, if Palace fans, you know, I actually think Allardyce, he will sort them out, surely.
Yeah, we're assuming he's going to take a job. I mean, I guess that we think that's probably going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a sensible time to make this decision because they are only 19th, and they could be a lot worse. So,
they're 17th.
They're just 17th, and it could be a lot worse. I've already given them hope.
If Terrace Culture's got any respect left, the same way they would wave their passports at Mohammed Al-Fayed when you really wanted English British citizenship and never got it, there'll be £20 notes all over the gaff when Sam has his first game.
Yeah. To be fair to Allardyce, he will take his medicine.
Yeah,
he'll get the treatment, and he knows he is. Hmm. He's going to get treatment, but he'll be fine with it.
So
he's back on the gravy train.
Yeah, quite. So
he's back on the Premier League gravy train. What's not to like?
But I think there's a not ridiculous chance
of
Alan Pardew rocking up, not where you think I'm going to say, is your neighbours that you love so much. If things, you know...
The Willises? Not the lesbians downstairs.
Easy. I thought you were going to say, is it when Wenger steps down, Jim?
Well, maybe. I can but hope.
PSG are all over our Wenger at the moment, apparently.
I thought you were going to say Pardew.
No, they keep dangling a huge carrot in front of Wenger. If I was Wenger, I'd take it all day.
Would you?
End of the season, get out of there. Why not? Anyway, that's another point. But I think there's a reason. I would have thought maybe 3 or 4 months ago there's a chance that Pardew could go somewhere like Sunderland, but I think David Moyes will be given the nod now.
He'll be off to hedonism too. I'm just trying to make
Pete laugh more about Pardew's misfortune, to be honest. But I mean, where do you think he will go? Do you think he'll get another Premier League job? Because it's this weird thing where he starts so well and then it all collapses underneath him. Happens every time. Mm. But
give him one season.
Well, that's it though, isn't it? There's so much short-termism in the Premier League that he might genuinely get that.
The reason people are so not delighted, I mean, there is an element of sort of glorying in a man losing his job, but yeah. I reiterate, there are several million reasons why you shouldn't worry too much about that.
West Ham fans aren't bothered, fans aren't bothered, Newcastle fans aren't bothered.
But part of the reason people think it's funny is because, you know, what was it, 3-4 months ago, he was basically talking himself around the England job again. Even though it was like a whole... Oh, I don't know if I want it. He was still bringing it into the conversation.
Well, bearing in mind he was in the middle of the slide, but he had a little, you know, the water slide that has a little bump in the middle. He was having a little bit of a bump. He won a couple of matches and he started talking about England again.
Didn't they win one game?
Yeah.
Against Stoke 3-0, yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you want?
Yeah. To be fair, with Pardew at Palace... They played their part in that 5-4 against Swansea.
They did.
You know?
Be a highlight, wouldn't it? Be a highlight.
Thank you for that, Alan. Yeah. We do appreciate that. There are matches that are happening.
Yeah.
Chelsea versus Bournemouth is one of them. Antonio Conte's job is very safe for now. He gave his players a little bit of time off before this fixture. Thibaut Courtois went off to Chicago to watch some basketball.
Everyone just like scattered to the four winds, didn't they?
It's almost like a Chelsea diaspora. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this. It happens quite often, doesn't it? Players get their little break, their little bit of time off, but they do. They do these hugely grueling long haul flights.
Straight to Heathrow 5. That's it. There they go.
But then I suppose for them, they don't get a chance to travel really apart from that little window in the summer. And even then, pre season's quite grueling, so you don't want to go. I don't know, too far afield or whatever. And so you think to yourself, if Courtois is obviously a big basketball fan, then get out there and see yourself.
There was a lovely shot of Courtois and a basketball player.
You had no idea.
Courtois is 6'4". Yeah,
he looked tiny, didn't he?
I love Diego Costa back home in Brazil.
Yeah.
Seemed to happen like an hour after the match.
Yeah, when Conte said, I'm giving the players time off, that picture of Diego Costa popped up in Brazil. He must have the same airline as Rubinho when he played for Man City, if you remember that.
Rick Rubinho, like, essentially photographed playing beach volleyball in Rio, a day before the game. Yeah, and he'd be named on the bench or something. Well, how's he doing this?
You didn't see him on the bench during the first half, and then he sort of slowly crawls out a pair of sandals for the second half.
Yeah.
Gary Cahill, I think, well, the photos, he probably went somewhere like Dubai, but the tabloids never specified where he went. They obviously can't figure out from the photos, nobody. He obviously got lost at the airport and he managed to get away.
Just to bring it back to the football, one of the things that will be fascinating, I think, is that Chelsea obviously been doing really well and they're flying at the top of the table. I think they're 6 or 7 points clear now, as we all know. But they are very reliant, for a team, they're very reliant on Diego Costa scoring goals. So when they're nicking games 1-0 and stuff, they're reliant on him. Obviously, he's not available for selection now.
Yeah.
So it'll be very, very interesting to see how they cope. Yeah. I know they're only at home to Bournemouth. With respect to Bournemouth, that's a fairly easy game for them. And they've got a couple of... I've got another easy game after this, and then they play Spurs, I think. Mm. But it'll be fascinating to see whether he brings in Bashuayi and see how he gets on, because I think he's only played 75 minutes of Premier League football in total season.
They spent a lot of money on him, and also he played a lot in France last season, scored quite a few goals, especially for a player of his age. So it's been a little bit disappointing from a neutral point of view to not see more of him. He looks like a player with great promise.
Like a couple of weeks ago, before Costa got his ban, there was talk of him going on loan. Already.
Yeah.
And then Chelsea essentially, I think, had to deny...
It's not like Chelsea.
No, Chelsea, I know. Chelsea had to deny a report that he might go on loan. And he'd only signed for him like 2-3 months before.
I don't think Chelsea know where all their players are.
They're all at Vitus Arnhem. I think that's a feeder club for them. There seems to be a load of them there, don't there? They've got 30 or 40 players out in total, I think.
Put your toys back in the toy box.
Not sure off the top of my head if this is true this season, but it certainly was last season. Marco Marin was still a Chelsea player.
Was he?
And might be. Still, I'm not sure, because Cuadrado's got that weird 4-year loan, isn't he?
He's in the walls.
Well, Nathan Ake is obviously on loan from Chelsea to Bournemouth, and he's having a good season.
Is he eligible to play against
him? Atsu?
No, you're not allowed, are you? Marcus, would you say...
Yeah, there's another one.
He's probably, you know, Bournemouth's second most high-profile player they've ever had, being on loan from Chelsea.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Jim. Third or fourth, maybe.
Don't worry, Marcus, I can speak from experience. Bournemouth fans are genuinely non-threatening.
Yeah, I know.
Jack Wilshere, I think. But the reason why I said that is because I think Eddie Howe said it.
Yeah.
Right.
So just copying Eddie Howe.
Hiding behind the Howe.
Have a go at your own manager if you want to go at
the Howe and why. Yeah. Bournemouth are doing brilliantly well. They're 10th. I know it's very, very tight, but that's...
They're having a decent season. There's no two ways about that. They've had some wonderful results. That game against Liverpool. I mean, come on. You know, they've played some good stuff. Going back to Chelsea, Oscar has left for China for around 60 million. And what I love about that is Conte. As soon as he, because I don't think Conte wanted him to leave. And as soon as he probably saw the fee and the money changing bank accounts, he thought to himself, right, let's get in the market.
It's some story this, because there's two clubs in Shanghai, Shenhua and SIPG, which is the Shanghai Port Authority Group or something like that. They're owned by, I think they're owned by the Port Authority in Shanghai. And SIPG, Shanghai SIPG, are managed by AVB. And the chairman of the company that owns the football club apparently isn't hugely convinced that buying these high-profile Premier League players and stuff and European-based players and whatever, Brazilians, is the way forward. Essentially, what they're doing, to cut a long story short, is trying to put Shanghai as a city on the map globally because they've lost the Chinese Grand Prix from next year.
Right.
So, it's weird because you've got Shenhua who are managed by Gus Poyet. Mm-hmm. Tevez is apparently going over there.
That's right.
Hulk is there and essentially has recommended them getting Oscar. Apparently, Hulk runs the show over there.
I'll bet.
And I think it was Hulk who got rid of Sven.
Yeah,
and
really?
Got AVB in.
Well, have you seen that film about him? He's a ferocious beast.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But I think
Sven threw him over a skyscraper.
Yeah, I know, right? One of the reports I read was that Sven said, "Look, it's me or Hulk," and they chose Hulk.
Essentially. It's Sven. Come on. Look how much money they paid for him.
Yeah, I know, right?
it is incredible what's going on in China. But Premier League clubs and Chelsea right now, maybe they're beginning to feel the same kind of emotions as what the German clubs are. You know, Premier League players come in and go, "Yeah, we want that young player that's come through your academy. Yeah, he's 30 million, he's 35 million. Yeah. Well, it's a shame to see him go because he's a good player, but cheers." Yeah. You know, and clearly there's a bit of that
back
going
in the
on.
Early years of the Premier League, they used to sign older foreign players all the time. It was a bit like MLS, wasn't it?
They did. Tevez has gone out there. We talked about that before and reported 615 grand a week.
You do get the feeling that he's going to have the best time.
I mean,
for a million different reasons.
Lovely old job.
I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if he just stays for 3 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, still worth it.
Go for a week.
Yeah.
The Mirror worked out that if you break it down, he'll make £1 every second.
There's only 604,000 seconds in a week.
Yeah.
So he's actually getting more than £1 a second.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He leans back on his chair and exhales.
Surely that's a fun stat, Pete.
I don't like them. They're rubbish. It's
why?
Because like, you'd be thinking, not every second, you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's not
five,
a second.
What? Well, all right, I'm speeding it up for the sake of people listening. I'm not going to just count.
You're supposed to be a radio professional.
Right, 1, 2.
Just say 1,000
fair enough.
Between.
3.
Yeah, that's fine, carry on.
4.
Yeah, I'm happy with that now.
5.
Yeah.
Chelsea have also 6. Been scouted enough. The Roma duo, Rudiger and Nangolan. You like Raja Nangolan?
I do.
He's a good player. He scored that peach against Wales, all in vain, of course. He's a funny looking
chap.
They were described as being heavily scouted.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that.
What does that mean?
It's not like Raja Nangolan is not a well-known player, is it?
Are you following him home?
Well, it's lost different things, isn't it? What sort of personality is he? Is he going to fit in
where he goes drinking?
What other positions can he play in? All that type of stuff. How fit he is, all that type of stuff. But if you think Chelsea...
What his answer phone message says.
Exactly. If you think Chelsea are a good bet to beat Bournemouth, they're 4-11 with Bet365, so £10 return. Only £13.64, including your stake.
There you are. Now, Chelsea, as you mentioned earlier, they've got a relatively decent run-in over Christmas because all the run-ins are pretty hectic. Boxing Day bash with Bournemouth, home to Stoke on the 31st of December, then away to Spurs on the 4th of January. You compare that to some other clubs, you know, like Liverpool, it's not so good.
Southampton have got a really difficult situation. They've only got a couple of days break in between the game.
Indeed,
my heart bleeds for them.
Yeah, no, they're soldier on, mate.
Yeah,
they're a tough side. Yeah, yeah. Full of quality.
Premier League team, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
It's the most exhausting time. At Swansea City against West Ham.
Oh, this has comedy potential, doesn't it?
you fancy another 9-goal thriller, Jim?
Maybe.
Well, they've got two really important games. They've got home to West Ham, and then they've got Bournemouth. I really love what Bob Bradley said in the press conference for this game. He was asked about how he wants to strengthen Swansea in January. And he said, "I think we could use a centre-back, a midfielder who gives us greater presence in midfield, and the attacking part, I see advantages created in every game. I don't think our final decisions are good enough. We need to get better. We need to find an attacker who will give us that and give us a threat in behind the defence." So basically, you need every type of player.
Yeah,
you need
an entire spine.
You're happy with the full-backs and the keeper, that's it. Yeah.
You've got a feel for him, haven't
you? He says, "We've got to improve on both sides. I still think a lot of games are being decided by that."
Yeah,
goals going in the net and goals not getting conceded, I guess, would help. I think, isn't Payet giving Kasivas to France? France.
To Marseille,
come get me.
Yeah.
Marseille, yeah.
That's
yeah.
just how they greet each other.
No,
it is, yeah. Payet, you would imagine he might not be there come the end of the season if things don't improve.
Well, I said that Marseille is an interesting project. It's like, why are you saying that, mate?
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Well, he's 29, and he's probably going to have one more big move in him.
Mm, yeah.
And you know, he doesn't want to be at West Ham. It's simple.
No, that's fair. I mean, to be fair,
but could he not just stay in the league and just go, yeah.
What play? Well, he's shopping himself around, isn't he? He's making it known he's available.
Aye.
He obviously had the chance to leave at the end of the season last time round, but I think, you know, he was off to France with the Euros. He got himself in the French side. He was playing well for West Ham. He was the main man. He wanted to be part of a very successful stadium migration.
Yeah.
But that was actually one of the reasons why he stayed, was because he wanted to be a part of going to the Olympic Stadium, or the London Stadium, should I say, which is a big thing, fair enough.
But it's not anywhere. This is horrible. Yeah. This is horrible.
And hindsight...
Everyone's standing up and shouting at each other.
Hindsight can be... hindsight can be a real sober...
He's been one of their better outfield players this season.
Yeah.
They've both done okay.
Yeah. Swansea are struggling. They've picked up 12 points from 17 matches this season.
You'd think if West Ham start Carroll, and I mean, it's hard to keep track of whether he's injured or not, but I think he is at the moment. If Carroll could cause them a lot of problems, you would think.
Well, when he's come on, he's looked really, really good, hasn't he? He's got two, maybe one.
He's a good player, but he just can't stay fit. I mean, it's as simple as that.
A good thing with Carroll as well is from set pieces, actually, you know, when they're defending set pieces, he's a really useful sort of defensive tool
as well. Defensive forward.
You would bloody hope so, wouldn't you?
A defensive forward in the Premier League is like probably one of the most underrated things. No one really talks about it, but if you think back to players like, well, Didier Drogba was probably the best defensive forward in Premier League history.
He was fantastic at times.
Andy Carroll's really important for them. It's a good point.
Grant Holt.
Zlatan's exactly the same. Zlatan's really important for them defensively.
They also have a Grant Holt.
Oh, well, that's hard to, isn't it?
you need a few cans.
Yeah, to navigate a way around that.
Oh,
508.
Yes.
509.
Bennett.
With the West Ham Swansea game, a 0-0 scoreline is 10-1 on Bet365. So £10 returns, £110 including stake. Could see it happening.
Both are struggling.
West Ham, yeah, could go that way.
Both are struggling for goals. And before we go to a break, we've got to talk about this briefly. We're not going to talk about Leicester in particular on the show, but mention Jamie Vardy. Because a man who bought the personalised number plate VAR9 Weiss, obviously it looks like Vardy, has put the plate up on eBay, if anyone's interested, after he failed to sell it to Jamie Vardy. This chap called David McMurray. That is as ridiculous as it sounds. He bought the number plate for £4,000, thinking he'd be able to sell it on to Vards for a big old profit.
He said his exact plan was to sell it to him for £5,000.
Jesus.
He can't get rid of it now, and he's trying to shop it around to other people called Vardy, and he reckons also people called Vargy might be interested. So he's put it up on eBay.
Vargy,
I know.
I love the thought process of this.
It's like Bart on The Simpsons.
Absolutely. I love the thought process, and also I love how regularly stuff like this happens to Jamie Vardy. It's like the lookalike thing where it all got a bit weird, and he had to sort of like ban him from hanging out with him. It's just, I can imagine people knocking on his door, like offering him greyhounds and things, and him thinking, why do things like this happen to me? I'm an international footballer.
But why would you think, if you did something like that, that the person in question would feel
obliged to do it?
I mean, McMurray said, I can't seem to be able to get in contact with Jamie at all. Well, of course not.
Have you seen the picture of him, though? He looks like a Limmy character.
Work in a cash and carry.
He doesn't look like the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah, no. Well, if anyone's interested, he said, again, he's not doing himself any favours here. I'm going to accept any price. I just need to get rid of it. You're an awful salesman.
He's also told everyone how much he paid for it. So even if Barney does want it, he's not going to give him any more than a couple of quid.
Another brilliant thing. He already knew that Jamie Vardy already has a personalised number plate. He knew it and he did it anyway.
What about Reg Vardy, who are literally in the car business, who used to...
Didn't they used to
sponsor Sunderland?
Yeah.
They're in the car business. Ask them.
Pete, are you offering to be an intermediary?
As long as I get a little bit... Something.
Everyone gets a taste.
Yeah. The art of good business is being a good middleman.
Exactly.
Said René Higuita only once.
Yeah. And I am not a good middleman.
Indeed. It's time for a break.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody. Now, there is a match between two non-English sides of some importance this week. Yeah, we were a little bit harsh at the start. It's the Italian Super Cup between Milan and Juventus. Juventus arrived last Tuesday, but Milan were delayed.
Well, you didn't mention there that it's being played in Doha.
That's right. I should have said that. Yeah.
Interesting.
Milan were delayed.
The home of football, the new home of football. According to Richard Keys.
The cradle of football.
Yeah, it is.
The cradle of Keys.
Where it all started.
Milan have been delayed by a day. This is because...
if you like to think of the world of football as the Bible, Doha is very much Genesis.
The Big Bang. Yeah.
Apparently there has been football elsewhere, but Richard Keys has seen no evidence of it.
No, exactly. And he can't believe just rumour and conjecture.
Is he Herod or something?
Richard Keys on Twitter, he always has to capitalise... the show he does on beIN Sport. Mm.
The biggest show in the world.
He always has to say it's the biggest highlight show and live action football show in the world.
Mm.
And
you count illegal streaming.
At the end of every tweet he puts, all the goals and in capitals, as they go in.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing that Sky Sports don't have.
Right, okay.
So that's the big selling point for him. He absolutely loves it. He does it every single week.
Yeah.
Chipping away at your empire, Murdoch.
Yeah.
One tweet at a time.
The thing about it is that this Italian Super Cup, Milan and Juventus, you know that Gray and Kesey are going to be in some executive box somewhere for that game, don't you?
I reckon they'll get denied because they don't know anybody and they'll be like, well, it's not the community shield, is it, boys?
I don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll probably be here for Christmas, where they would prefer to be.
Milan are going to be turning up a day late after Juventus because their flight didn't turn up.
Mm. Bit Man United.
You think they would be able to organise that, but I loved
it. Day Harlet.
Yeah, very good. I like the chief exec.
It was actually quite bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't self-congratulate us on the podcast, because sometimes it's not good.
A day late.
Doha.
Go back to counting.
I was already doing that. That's why I couldn't think of anything amazing.
It was a season of goodwill, and I gave him that one. But Galliani said it would be better if both teams arrived at the same time, but I don't want to get involved in a controversy. Organise your flights better.
Yeah.
It's a very strange one. But this was nice.
Galliani's a fascinating man to look at. You can just imagine him just punching people in car boots. It's incredible.
I think it's a car boot sales.
Give me a better deal.
Did you see Adriano? The Emperor.
Yes, I did see that,
at the San Siro the other night, head of Inter versus Lazio, rather. He was paraded on the pitch.
He looked genuinely very, very touched. He looked very happy to be there, quite emotional. He got such a good reception. He was presented with a shirt, wasn't he? He must have won three or four Serie A titles with them.
Yeah, he did pretty well for them.
He was fantastic on his day.
Yeah, he was.
He was, yeah. It was quite sad, actually, reading an interview about him, because his dad used to get a lot of joy, obviously, seeing his son play football. When his dad died, that's when... You know,
his problem started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Big shame. But let's go back to the Premier League. Liverpool are at home to Stoke. It was a big win for the Reds in the Merseyside derby. Mm. Mike Dean was in full flow.
He was doing his thing, wasn't he? Doing his thing.
The old no-look yellow card.
Yeah, he loves
social
that one.
Media went mad for
he
that.
He loves that one.
And the dummy.
Yeah, that was nice
the ball
as well.
Go through his legs.
That's nice as well.
There's a really famous YouTube video, isn't there, of a referee who's basically really camp and he's effectively almost ballet dancing. And I think it was an advert for something from South America that's been sort of framed as if it's real.
I know.
But Mike Dean isn't a million miles away from it.
No, he's very, very, very entertaining. And he has like what I would describe as like a real contempt for players. Like football players. Mm-hmm. So he thinks, it gives the impression that he's above the whole thing. Mm. That's why he does the old no look yellow and all that sort of stuff. And he does, someone posted the video a while back online of him doing literally like a 60 yard advantage. He's running with the advantage sign. He's running from like his own, almost like just outside one penalty area. And he's got his hands out like the advantage sign. Until he gets into the other penalty area. And there's a really good video of him as well where there's a decision to be made on the penalty and he decides to give a penalty, and because it's like a melee in the box he's already in the penalty area and he's standing about a foot away from the penalty spot. So obviously to do the penalty, so he just really points at it right next to his feet and gets right down close to it that. So there can be no doubt.
What's the one that doesn't somebody score and he walks off? You know, he sort of runs and turns and it's almost like he's celebrating.
Yeah, I think referees have got quite a big thing about being playing a correct advantage.
Yes.
When they play an advantage, and it comes to fruition. They really love it. Like, I think they see it as a real sign of great refereeing. Yeah, but you can't really be seen celebrating with someone's goals. I mean, that's the one thing. That's like page one. Don't do that. What do you mean, don't do that?
Played my part.
Yeah.
What a wonderful advantage.
Incidentally, it's the only thing Craig Pawson hasn't done wrong.
Do they have that? I don't know. Like the sort of the referees' annual meeting. Like, and here are the top five advantages given by the referees or something.
I'd love to be at that.
How many decisions has Pawson's been like overturned of his? Like, there's been a few recently, hasn't there? Vardy one got overturned.
No, it didn't.
No,
it got upheld. Yeah,
oh, sorry.
They rarely overturn stuff like that because they want to be seen to support the referees.
The Leicester chairman said that it was unfair. I quite like that because it makes him sound slightly like a child. That's unfair.
Yeah.
But Liverpool are playing Stoke. And as we said about Chelsea, they've got a game on Boxing Day, the 31st and the 4th. Was Liverpool. They play Stoke on the 27th, Man City at home on the 31st, and then Sunderland away on the 2nd. It was much tighter set of fixtures there. And Man City away. At home is obviously a difficult one. Mm. So they are chasing. And
Liverpool, for all the talk of their defence being poor, they've only conceded one more goal than Arsenal in the league this season, which has surprised me to read that. Obviously because their reputation is one of scoring a lot of goals but conceding quite a few as well.
Yeah. It's a tough old ask for Stoke, this, isn't it?
Oh, big
I think
time,
Mark
yeah.
Hughes has ever beaten Liverpool at Anfield. And Joe Allen's coming back. And he's got 5 goals for Stoke this season. He scored 4 for Liverpool in his entire time.
He's having a brilliant calendar year. He's having a fantastic... Liverpool and Spurs are the only undefeated teams at home in the Premier League this season. So. Mm. But if you fancy Stoke to upset Liverpool at Anfield, it's 10-1 with Bet365. So £10 returns you quite a large £110, including stake.
Mm. I have a theory, Marcus, on how this is going to pan out. Jurgen Klopp strikes me as the sort of guy who would go for a very sort of non-traditional handshake, like a sort of the half high five, half like kind of slap.
Maybe a mini Stollen. Yeah.
maybe even a fist bump, and Hughes will lose the game there.
Yeah, it's there. It's done.
Pre-match. Like Mike Tyson said, his head will go.
Like Mike Tyson used to say, I could see in the press conference whether I was going to win that fight or not. Yeah, there'd always be one I lost there. That's going to happen. It's going to happen to Hughes. Because there's a great video on YouTube of handshake fails, isn't there? Have you seen it? Mm-hmm. It's like a 5-6 minute long video of all the sporting handshake fails, and some of them are political and stuff. And that by far the most common one is when...
Mark Hughes.
It's just Mark Hughes for 6 minutes. And someone goes in with a handshake, but the other person's already decided on the fist bump.
Yeah.
And they swap over at the same time.
Paper versus rock.
Yeah, basically you get rock versus paper. So if that happens, watch out.
Yes.
It will not be a Christmas treat.
Remember John Terry once got the old fake handshake thing where the person puts their hand out, goes to shake his hand, and then takes it away.
Right.
From Gunnosaurus.
Nice. did Chelsea win that game up 4-0?
Didn't the child do that, Stephen Gerrard or Wayne Rooney?
That's right.
Yeah. It was Gerrard.
Gerrard
kicked him.
Little cheeky kid. Two-footed him. Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about Wayne Bridge with the old handshake.
Oh, yeah.
But he did the old miss one out.
There was an Everon Suarez one as well. Wasn't there?
There was a great moment in Mersey Monday when the ball got kicked in the air and the ball boy just kind of casually just took it on the vol. Beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of Mersey Monday, Monday night games in which Sky Sports haven't done a preposterous marketing naming of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're usually better.
17 goals this season. The opposite, when they have done, i.e. Red Monday, Mersey Monday, 0.
Yeah.
No
terrible.
Goals.
Absolutely.
It's worth guaranteeing, isn't it?
What was it?
In normal time.
Yeah, okay, right. One then. One in total.
Was it nearly 10 minutes of stoppage time?
It still counts.
Yeah. It still counts.
Yeah, indeed. It's golden goal, essentially, by then. There are reports that Liverpool are thinking of signing Joe Hart next summer, presumably to appease the Neville brothers on the
goalkeeping
situation.
I said they should have gone for him as soon as he was available.
He was linked before, wasn't he?
Would you want to sell to a...
No, that's exactly. Yeah, I think there might have been a thing with the rivalry. Yeah. I don't think they want him to go there. Yeah, but I generally, I think that'd be a great move for everyone.
Mm. Yeah, even though he shipped 5 goals last weekend.
Oh no, he's shipped 10 his last 3, hasn't he?
Is he?
I think one of those.
He's doing okay. He's pretty highly regarded in Serie A already.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been on about how he expects better from himself.
But one of those games, to be fair to him, one of those games he was absolutely peppered and he made loads of saves.
Yeah,
they still got beaten.
Hart's a good keeper for Christ's sake.
And also, Torino are going to take a lot more, you know, flack, let's say, than City ever would.
But I don't want to be too harsh on Hart. But the thing is, with Liverpool signing him, while initially I was all for it and I thought it would be a good move for everyone, Joe Hart seems to be a keeper who at the very, very top level just isn't quite good enough.
Yeah.
Hence Man City. I know there's other reasons probably that Guardiola doesn't want him, but if you're talking about...
Bravo's distribution is good.
But if you're talking about going deep in the Champions League, I think a lot of top managers think that Hart isn't there.
He's not in the same...
And that's Liverpool's ambition, right? It's Liverpool's ambition to get back in the Champions League and actually compete because they're a European, very illustrious illustrious European club. So is it really a long-term
solution anyway? He's better than what they've got currently. Although,
well, who have they really had in their last 20 years? Reina, maybe?
Reina was a good keeper for Liverpool.
But like, who else, really?
Well, I'm sure that... Well, Grobbelaar, was he in the last 20 years?
David James would be last 20 years.
When they won the Champions League in 2005, it was Dudek.
Dudek
had howlers in him.
But they've had some good keepers, haven't they?
They have had some good keepers. I can't think... I'm sure there's Liverpool fans going crazy now. Going, well, we've had him.
Yeah.
The Hart's a decent... He's obviously not in that bracket with Neuer and De Gea and Courtois, but he's not that far off it. And he's
Lloris
would be... Well, good, it's obviously signing contract extension at Spurs. So I would say Hart... You know, he's better than what they've got currently. However, we don't know how Karius is going to develop.
I think Lloris and De Gea are the best keepers in the Premier League. And I think, because Courtois, again, probably coming across as a bit harsh, but he had that funny, wobbly phase of form last season.
He did.
I know they didn't have a great season anyway, but he was sort of quite badly affected by that. And it's hard to imagine, since De Gea has sort of come up to speed, he's been absolutely brilliant, so is Lloris.
It's a shame that Begovic is on the bench for Chelsea, because he's a quality keeper.
Maybe they could go in for him.
They need
a keeper anyway.
Anyone fancy Tim Krul?
But you wonder whether
he's on loan from Newcastle.
You wonder whether Klopp obviously really believes in Karius, and I think he'll probably long term. He'll think hopefully he's the one for the job.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Moving on from Liverpool Stoke, it's Southampton versus Spurs. Quite a tasty one, as we say. Good news for Spurs fans. Lloris has signed a big old extension.
Oh, that'll put his transfer value right up. Wasn't it?
Sell all you can.
The silver lining of that cloud is we're going to get some good money for him now.
That's right.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was specifically mentioned in the meeting.
Or even in the contract.
If the contract even exists.
But it's good business.
No, of course it does. It's great business all around, because obviously he's a great keeper. And you know, if they are forced to sell him, because there's a lot of player power in football these days, they want to get top money for him. And he's one of the world's best keepers, so it does make sense.
How about this? Alan Shearer, the Premier League's all-time top goal scorer, of course, has said that there are two players he thinks could break his scoring record currently in this country. Sergio Aguero, goes without saying, and Harry Kane.
I actually think Kane's more likely than Aguero in that sense, because Aguero's so much older.
And Aguero, it's easy to see Aguero leaving.
Aguero's 5 years older than Kane.
English players notoriously don't want to leave anywhere near as often as foreign players do. I could see Aguero wanting to go back to Spain.
Well, Aguero's on 112 goals.
Shearer was what, 260?
260.
That's mental, isn't it?
It is crazy. You know, a lot of that was for Newcastle and Blackburn.
Right.
That's it.
Kane needs 20 goals a season for the next 10 seasons to get near it, to get there or thereabouts. He's got 56.
When you put it like that, it's like, that is a ridiculous record.
That's how good Shearer was.
But that's assuming that Kane can go to 33 with not having any serious injuries. Shearer had one bad knee injury.
Shearer had a couple.
But I do think Kane is more likely, because he's more likely to stay. I think Aguero's 28 now. Aguero signed a 5-year deal with City in 2014, but this talk, I mean, there's been talk for a little while now.
Aguero has the odd injury here and there.
Real Madrid and everything like that. So,
true.
Yeah.
I did find this mildly amusing. Shearer thought Wayne Rooney would do it, and that was a fair shout, of course, when Rooney burst on the scene, but Wazza is 66 short of Shearer's total. And Big Al said that he now feels that Rooney is moving further away. And I thought, I know what you mean, Alan, but you don't take goals away from his tag.
But basically, he's 66 short. I've done some calculations on current form. It means he needs to play for another 46 seasons.
Is he world class?
Yeah,
but he would say Rooney's world class.
I'd love it for someone to beat his record and pull the shirt up and say world class.
That'd be good.
It's never going to happen, because Shearer genuinely did score a shitload of goals.
Yeah, to me, Shearer's record is absolutely magnificent,
phenomenal.
So get off his back, guys. There are reports that Man City could offer $50 million for Virgil van Dijk, the Southampton player. I mean, take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a good player, but come on.
That's how ridiculous and inflated the market is, isn't it? It's probably his agent just trying to get as much as he can out of it. But I think Van Dijk is an excellent player.
We're trying to sign him for $15 million.
The thing is, Jim, you're...
They reduced the offer. This will throw him.
It's like a man in Toys R Us car park trying to sell a Tracy Island for £300.
I also love Arsenal a few years ago trying to get Drax for £35 million, couldn't get him. Now he's available for £25 million. Not interested.
Yeah.
Well, there's talk actually that there's a bid on the table. Oh, 15 million it'll be, though. That's the thing. Yeah. But I think Van Dijk is a very, very good player. He's quick, he's mobile, and Southampton have conceded, I think, the second fewest shots in the league. Chelsea being the team who have conceded the fewest. And I think he's excellent. I think he's got the ability to play for a top four team. I really do. I rate Van Dijk a lot.
Manchester City, Jim's endorsed him.
Just to further clarify, I mean, he's 25. I mean, if you're paying, I don't know how accurate that figure is, but I would suggest, I agree with what a lot of Jim said about the fact that everyone knows City, you've got money, the market's inflated. If you're paying that much for a defender, you want a defender that's played a good amount of games in the Champions League. You don't want to be wondering if he is Champions League quality or not, and whether he's a very top level, because you've just shelled out 50 million for him. I think he's a good player. I think he's a really good defender. And to be fair to him, he stepped up from SPL to Premier League pretty well. And he looks good whenever I see him. But are there any... Do you want to have question marks over a player you've just paid 50 million for? That's all I'm saying.
No, that's absolutely fair. Again, I think it's the market at the moment, isn't it? It's so difficult to get those defenders in. And we've seen City experiment.
Southampton
like Mangala as well, like
if it carries on like this, the way Southampton sort of bring players and then sell them on, the whole city will be covered in gold.
They're going to be playing in Shanghai.
Yeah,
will they even bother to play?
They might sign Hulk,
like an academy.
Just sign Hulk with all the money.
Yeah, that's right. And Sven. And then, or pick one, certainly.
But Southampton and Spurs are playing on the 28th, of course, so that's a couple of days later than Boxing Day. And Spurs are 6-4 with Bet365 to win this one. So £10 returns £25, including stake.
That's right, yeah.
Spurs, you know, travelling down to Southampton, difficult, probably quite difficult, but, you know, definitely got it in them.
Definitely got it in.
Got a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Apparently, Mario Balotelli's agent saying he could return to the Prem. Southampton might be looking for something a little different up top.
He doesn't need that. It's the last thing Balotelli needs, that this sort of goldfish bowl of the Premier League. I know he got sent off last week for something ill-advised. But other than that, he's having a good season.
I heard he has a clause in his contract, which is that if he gets sent off for violent conduct or something terrible like spitting at someone three times, then he doesn't get his bonus. So he's got two strikes.
Oh, no, do it at the end. If you haven't done any, get a couple in.
That was in the papers, wasn't it? Was it for Nice, or was it a previous contract at Man City?
I can't remember.
What if he spits up in the air and catches it at his mouth like a child?
I think it was Liverpool. I think it was at Liverpool.
I can remember at uni, playing at uni, if you got booked for a foul or whatever, they would pay the fine for you, but if you got booked for dissent, you have to pay it yourself.
Is that right?
Yeah. You never got put at your Lineker.
Never.
Scoring them goals, mate.
Exactly, yeah.
You did cack yourself once, though, didn't you?
Repeatedly. I thought it worked for Gary. It worked for me.
Yeah, one day I'll have the match of the day gig, won't you?
If it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Don't want to see in your pants.
Yeah. What's our bet of the week, Luke?
Our bet of the week is, despite what I was saying earlier about a 0-0, we've decided that we think West Ham have got a good chance of beating Swansea this weekend. This Boxing Day, at 9-5 with Bet365. £50 will return us £140, including our stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, gambleaware.co.uk.
Betting 9-5, what a way to make a living.
They are 9-5, yeah.
That's why I sang it.
I've got a quick highlight of the week. It's according to several reports, Gigi Becali wants to rename Steaua Bucharest, that amazing, illustrious European Cup winning club.
Yeah.
Rename FC Sports Becali.
Becali and Cork? Can I interest them in that? Terrible.
FC Sports Becali. Oh, that's
Sports
incredible.
Sports Becali.
Do you remember we were talking a bit on Tuesday about RB Leipzig playing by, and they got pumped, didn't they?
3-0.
Yeah. The Nouveau Riche were pumped by the landed gentry of German football.
Old money.
Yeah, they were. Get back in your box. Little patronising pat on the head on the way back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you want the information on Balotelli's contract from the horse's mouth, aka Google/The Sunday Times?
I'd love that.
His contract states, if during the season of the term of his contract, the player is not dismissed from the field of play on three or more occasions for violent conduct, spitting at an opponent or another person, for using offensive, insulting or abusive language and or gestures and or for dissent by word or action, then on the 30th of June, at the end of each season, he shall receive a bonus payment of £1 million.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
That is unbelievable.
Two goes at that.
He can
spit in someone's face, kick someone in the face, and still get £1 million quid for good behaviour.
That's a moral. That's what football's moral.
Would you not save it up for the last couple of weeks? The last day, yeah. Boom.
Yeah. Spit on someone, then kick him. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Do they measure how much spit for each spit?
Well, is a spitting and a kicking. That's one.
A spitting and a kicking.
Slam your album, Marcus. Jim also did a Twitter poll, didn't you, Jim, for Pardew?
Yes.
I thought I'd read it out. The Twitter question simply was, what next for Pards? We had, coming in at fourth place, 19% thought he would do dating seminars, his own dating seminars.
The game.
Third place, 20% creating his own fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can see him doing a fragrance called A Good Start.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Fades off during the other day.
Coming in at second, reviewing cars on YouTube, which is a nice one. And the winner, which will strike fear into large parts of the North East, was the Sunderland manager.
There you go.
Luckily, for Sunderland fans, our Twitter followers don't decide who their next manager is.
Right. Yeah. I can also imagine him getting the band back together with Jez.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good, very good. Carver and Pardew at Sunderland.
Carving it up.
And Pete, have you got some emails? I've got one more thing I wanted to mention.
I've got some emails, yeah.
Someone shared with us the official Facebook page of the Kaizer Chiefs supporters.
Okay.
In South Africa?
Today, yeah, down in South Africa, yeah. And I think it's a quote from a press conference. Their manager is a guy called Stephen Kompala.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you pronounce it. He's an ex-South African international defender. Mm-hmm. He's now the manager of Kaizer Chiefs. And this is a question and an answer from the press conference, as reported by the supporters, official supporters Facebook page. Reporter, coach, do you think you will win tonight's game against Golden Arrows? Stephen Comfella. You see, Julia, a man and a woman can walk to the moon, but only a dog is capable of milking a cat. Do you understand me?
Wow.
I'm glad you asked. No, I bleeding well don't.
Can you say that again? You see, Julia, a man and a woman can walk to the moon, but only a dog is capable of milking a cat. Do you understand me?
At least he had the self-awareness to ask, do you understand?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I'm afraid I don't. Can you put it another way? Yes, I think we'll win. No, I don't know.
Sorry, I asked whether you think we'll win tonight.
Your simile is on very shaky ground with the walking to the moon thing anyway.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Bring anything else into it?
It started off poorly and it got more confusing from there.
Dogs milking cats.
I know.
It's
like a Friday night around Pete's.
You can milk anything with nipples, as we learnt.
Indeed. Peter, any emails?
Yes, you got one from Gabby McKay. Thank you, Gabby, or possibly Mackay. I never know how that one works.
Is it M-C-K-A-Y?
Yeah.
I'd say Mackay then.
Is it Mackay,
M-A-C, I think, is it Mackay, I think.
All right,
the people with that name I know pronounce it Mackay.
Yeah.
I know all the Mackays.
Yeah, you have strange friends, though, to be honest. Today's sacking of Alan Pardew raises the question, in his absence, who becomes the most yadar manager of the Premier League? Do you know the phenomena of yadar?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Why not?
I don't really like it.
Okay.
Right, explain it, Pete.
Okay,
good. It
it's basically a catch-all term for the cringeworthy behaviour of middle-aged men. That's why you don't like it.
Your dad
definitely voted for Brexit, and at this time of year can be seen at the office Christmas party with his tie around his head trying to chat up his secretary. Pardew was, of course, the epitome of your dad, but now he's gone, I feel the ramble must decide who inherits the throne. My own shortlist would be David Moyes, took his players around the factory to show them real work, Mark Hughes likes a firm handshake, Arsene Wenger, that court, and Sean Dyche. I'd get more credit if I was foreign.
Possibly because Pardew is so good at it and he fits the bill so well. It's very hard to get anything.
I wouldn't really have those four, actually.
No, I would
Allardyce I would have before
well,
those
he's
four.
Not back in yet.
Well,
he?
There's no Phil Jones anymore. It's not Phil Jones.
Phil Brown anymore.
I think Sean Dyche is probably the leading contender of that.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because he's always piping up on fire about foreign managers and stuff.
Right.
Oh, and he's got a little box beard, a Brent beard.
Ian Holloway? Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers?
Premier League.
Brendan Rodgers is...
No, but he said Premier League, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a shame. Because I was going to go for... Cardiff City manager.
I'll declare Sean Dyche interim champion. For now.
Mike Phelan, maybe?
Oh, that's harsh. I'm more than Phelan. He's like a nice guy.
He seems a good guy. Yeah, but some dads seem like good guys.
True.
Yeah.
Mike more than Phelan is definitely the kind of dad who would pick you up from like a house party at 3 a.m. in his slippers, and he wouldn't mind. Do you know what I mean?
He would never come into the party.
No,
he'd wait outside.
Wait in the car for an hour.
Yeah, and if one of your mates came out and started chatting to him, he'd chat to him. He wouldn't embarrass you.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. He would want like a hedge trimmer for Christmas, though. You know what I mean?
He's
a lovely dad.
He's a dad's
dad. He's very much a dad. Yeah, a dad's dad. Yeah, but this is a bit more than that.
Mike,
isn't it?
More than the feeling, is your dad's favourite dad.
Right. Well, Gabby ends her email by saying, "Have a Merry Christmas, gentlemen, and hopefully your dad doesn't get drunk and start ranting about Muslims."
That will definitely happen in my house and probably Pete's.
Because your dad's both exactly the same person, weirdly.
Yeah. No, my dad has a big thing about I'm friends with one of them.
That's
it was
right.
A taxi driver. Muslim taxi driver in the Hall of Hartlepool.
Inspired by that.
He's befriended him.
I threw that same...
befriended him!
He pays him
money to drive him around!
I threw that same dad and son arguing... bomb,
right?
To my dad to ask him if he knew any Muslims, and he claims he does. And then never leaves the house.
It's absolutely nonsense.
Why is this not a section on the Christmas special? Arguments you two have had with your right wing dad. I'd pay for that.
My dad's old left wing, which sounds more right wing nowadays. Yeah. So
sort of meets in the middle.
Yeah, he used to be a miner.
Your dad's got a lot of stuff going on.
Busy chap.
Photoshop mainly.
Oh, there'll be loads over Christmas. Tom Mack says, "Come on, lads, don't advocate for smoking. Even though various Claudios do it, cigarette smoking increases carbon monoxide levels in blood and tissues pretty quickly, and that really reduces exercise tolerance. So get in the naughty man bin, Pete."
Hang on.
I think it was Pete that said it.
No. I actually said this about Claudio Marchisio.
Yeah.
And
right.
I said, because I found out he smokes it, and then I said...
So imagine what it'd be like without it.
Yeah, I said, we obviously don't condone that because it's foolish, which it is.
Yeah.
And I said, imagine how good his engine would be.
I think it was my point that said, surely it doesn't show itself for like 15 years. The effects of smoking, but he says it instantly happens. So,
anyway,
Tom Mack, thank you for your email. We've got one more email to round us off. Joe Taylor says, "Not Streets of Rage, thanks."
Okay, right, fine, fair enough.
What were we? We were talking about Axel.
Axel Foley.
I was thinking at the time. Were you thinking of Final Fight?
No, with Hagar. Streets of Rage had a character called Axel in it.
To me, it rang true to me.
Right.
But anyway,
listen, you might be right with Final Fight. Final Fight was renamed Streets of Rage in other countries, so maybe...
it wasn't. No, that's two different games. Final Fight were like bigger characters. Right. Hagar was like a Tom of Finland kind of mustachioed muscle man. And I think Ken out of Street Fighter was in that as well.
You might be right there. I'm with Pete on this.
The only thing I will say is the last email, Tom, you've done very well to get away with that. Pete moved this on there rapidly because I was going to give you pelters, mate.
Okay. give me pelters now then. Give me a Christmas pelt.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Pelt me up, Daddy.
Oh, Streets of Rage. They're called Axel and Blaze. Shut up.
Yeah. What's the name of that emailer?
Joe Taylor.
Never email us again. Seriously, block his email address. Wasted everybody's time. I don't mind him wasting our time, because we're anyway. It's the listeners I don't like him wasting time.
What's his name?
Joe Taylor. Why do I have to keep on saying it?
Muggy Christmas, Joe.
Right.
Yeah. There we are. Is that it?
Oh, that's it.
Good.
Not Streets of Rage. Maybe he just doesn't like Streets of Rage.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Maybe he couldn't beat it.
I remember what I was going to say.
In which case, he's an idiot.
What were you going
to say about Tom, about the smoking? Oh, but you've got loads of mates, but you're lots of fun. Aren't you? Oh. You've got other people for smoking.
Well, this is a way to start the penultimate show of 2016, isn't it?
Lacking everyone.
Having a pop at all our listeners.
Right, we've had three emails. One was fine. The other one, don't email us again. And the third one, having a go at people for smoking, when none of us smoke.
No, I just sound like I smoke because I've got asthma.
Well, because you live in the centre of Soho and the air quality is very poor.
Yeah.
And when you go home, you go back to your dystopian courtyard full of smoke. Right, that's it. We're finishing here.
Let's get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been a pleasure. We will be back, of course, after Christmas. We've got a little week off, even we have a winter break, because we'll be fresh for the summer tournament.
Yeah, back on the 31st, aren't we, by the time it comes out?
It's the 30th. Back on the 30th with the preview
people
show.
People frantically waving their arms at me because that was wrong.
Yeah.
Happens a lot. And just one thing I will say before we go, if you are going to email in, write the email out, but have a think about it before you press send.
Stop having a go at the listeners.
Someone having a pop at me the other week, he got all that wrong as well.
I'm not having a go at them generally. I'm just saying, some of the emails are quite poor. and they're getting through a system that we've put in place.
Maybe the system is called Pete Donaldson.
What I was about to say, Marcus, was maybe we need to review the system. But I'm happy to receive emails that are good. Keep them coming. But have a think about it before
you
press send.
At the Football Ramble. What I would point out is that we got sent some Seabrook crisps about 3 weeks ago from a listener.
Yeah.
We did not enjoy any crisps.
Still in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Yeah.
Right.
Well,
all right.
Half of them
are. The bags are. The bags are.
Oh, dear.
Shells.
If the listeners are going to do anything for us in 2017, which I think they should, just have a think about the quality of your content.
They sent us crisps and you ate them.
One of them did. And I've got no problem with him.
Yeah. Do you mean one of us ate them?
One of them sent them.
Yeah, okay. That's not, one of us ate them.
I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
I would
Let's
too.
Finish the show. Goodwill to all men apart from pards.
And women.
And let's get out of here.
Don't discriminate against the women.
I'm literally quoting Christmas crap.
Oh, you're stepping into the vacuum Pardew's left. Is that what you're doing?
There's your man.
The role you were born to play.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, ho ho.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
No, we're not that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.